All regarding Evander's latest Instagram post and the backlash behind it, is there any concern that it might throw the team into a negative light?
I'm not aware that there was a backlash. I don't follow any of that stuff, and it didn't change my day one bit. Ran all the same drills, had the same lines. Doesn't affect the hockey.
Does it become a distraction at the locker room or anything around there?
No, it would be a distraction for about 2 minutes for me right now, and we'll move on to the hockey. Yeah, I got through it all right. With these kind of things, it's how they come back tomorrow, right? So if a guy gets through the practice, that's the real positive part of it. And then we'll take a look at him tomorrow morning, make a decision whether they're morning skating, game time decisions, or just clear to go. So just wait 24 hours now, and we'll see.
You had said last time you liked the hashtag, you can find me at the top of the circle. Did you like this picture this time?
I didn't read the hashtag.
The hashtag, the picture this time. Did you see? Have you seen the posting?
I don't want to be flippant about it because it involves money that people will never see, the kind of money. But the funny answer is it's good in the off season they find a way to throw in an upper body workout on their off season. It's a very... Listen, this is funny, I guess, to some. It's not funny to others. Everybody will view it the way they want to view it. Evander Kane comes to training camp in phenomenal shape. He works really hard every day, and he's doing what we ask to do him on the ice. Whatever books you read on your own time, whatever thing that you enjoy doing on your own time is completely up to you.
When there were struggles offensively earlier on, you had talked about getting power play goals as one of the things that can kind of give you confidence, get you out of it. Do you feel that's happening right now?
Well, it is. We've scored a few power play goals. And it buys time for the 5-on-5 play. I think you find teams that are scoring on the power play are more relaxed 5-on-5. They play at a little different risk level. They know they're going to get their chances, or over the 4 or 5 games, they've been managed to get some points in the times that maybe they're not scoring 5-on-5. It takes some pressure off their 5-on-5 offensive game, and I think the quality of the hockey has a tendency to pick up. You know, you get the power plays. Probably the biggest difference is you get a power play on the bench, it's excited. You know, and it doesn't get real quiet on the bench. You get a power play. So one continued success with that, certainly the finishing. But we like the way we've gotten the puck to the net for the last 4 or 5 games on our power play. Feel like we're on to something that we can use with the group that we have.
Paul, looking ahead to tomorrow in the game against the Oilers and their troubles, how dangerous can a team be when they hit a point that, you know, that can't seem to anything go right?
Well... Yeah, I mean, you go back their last 3 games, and it's a danger to look at the final score. But, you know, St. Louis, Nashville, those are good teams as they're on the Western Conference. Those were tight and hard-played games and played very quickly. So one of our strengths so far is we have not had a game where we've taken anybody lightly or started slowly. I'm more concerned about this one off a 4-day block than I am. The other ones are... concerned about every game, but the other games I think it's easier to stay in a rhythm of playing every second night. Even if you're fatigued, your muscle memory is the hard grind. When you come off it, try to get some rest for your team. Sometimes you worry about remembering that muscle memory of how hard it is to battle every night on every shift. So that's our concern. My concerns going to this game would be the same whether it was Edmonton or it was or St. Louis or Anaheim coming in. There's enough skill on every team in the NHL that if you're not ready to play, they're going to beat you.
Said yesterday with 2 hot goaltenders, the key was to make sure one doesn't wait more than 7 or so days. With doing the math, that assume
figured Andre, somebody would get a calendar.
Andre
out.
Would get the gets the start tomorrow.
Well, come on down to the game. I've made the decision for the next 2 games on who's playing. Yes.
One of the concerns you had a couple weeks back, looking at the schedule, we were talking about how condensed it was, was this long break, little concern. Do you think the players have handled it well, you know, trying to maintain the energy level ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, so we're looking at how we train hockey teams and you know, probably put a higher premium now on recovery than we ever have before, where you used to... I got the job in Hartford, I think, on November 6th, and the first day off they got was December 16th. So there was a time you just never took a day off. You skated every single day. And now, because of the fitness of the athletes and I think the energy level that the game has played at, recovery is more. So we're still learning how to navigate through that. I haven't seen a lot of teams with a tremendous amount of success on 3 days off, 3 days of practice. So that's 4 days. They get a day off and then 3 days of practice. That's a real tough grind to get through. So we tried it a little bit differently this time. I don't know that the payoff for it you see in the first period of the first game back, but you're hopeful that you've been able to put a little rest, heal some injuries, because on any NHL team, there's one or two guys out of your lineup, but there's seven or eight guys playing with something. Some of it's overuse, some of it's just bruises and from block shots. So we're hopeful that we can get a little bit of a payback from allowing them to rest a little bit in a week's time. We expect Mike to be fully engaged in the game tomorrow and possibly Grant Klitsam as well, but Mike's fine.
Paul, not to get away from the task at hand, which is tomorrow, but maybe just a general comment from you on behalf of the organization for the six players or half a dozen players that probably will represent their countries at the World Juniors that was basically announced yesterday, and then there was some follow-up to that today.
So the NHL rooms are great for these because you have players represented by a number of different countries, and the cheering that goes on for the home country, and then your own guys. The games are always on. They're always exciting. It's great to see as many young players at such a high level of competition. For those guys, they play on their junior teams, and unless they get to the Memorial Cup, then this is as close as they're going to get to the National Hockey League without playing in it in terms of pressure, scrutiny, and quality against their peers. So it's a great opportunity for us to watch them. But it's a lot more fun just to sit outside the player lounge when there's a game going on between two countries that have opposing players in the room. So that's always a lot of fun.
Paul, you mentioned the fitness level of the team. I spoke with Craig Slonwhite before the practice today, and he was talking about what he does with all the guys. Could you talk a little bit about why it was important to bring him on and how you think what he's done has translated with their fitness levels and on the ice?
I would qualify this answer with I'm still reasonably superstitious about a lot of things, and talking about your health is one of them. But we were looking to change the model, and it goes to we wanted to bring somebody in that we felt could really individualize what we were doing during the season. So not just a matter of laying out a conditioning program, because most of these guys, if not all of them, by the time they're into their second or third year pro, they're using somebody back home, and they're most of them are fairly high level people. So they're getting good programs. This is our program. Craig will kind of interface with all the other strength coaches just to say, you know, this is what we see he needs to work at. But when you get them in the house and in the group, instead of training your whole hockey team the same way, having somebody that could identify strengths and weaknesses of each player, and help us train them all differently. So that's a big job. And then also talk about this rest and recovery and nutrition, and look at it more as the whole package, instead of having a guy just be the guy who's in the gym as a strength coach, but also working nutrition and right now even working with some of our prospects. So reaching out during the year to these young guys, to their billets, kind of we wanted a broader scope from this person, not just, you know, what weights the whole team's going to lift, but individually interfacing with our athletic therapists and our doctors from the rehab right straight through to the strength program. So we looked for someone that had the educational background and the experience that he could have a conversation with other experts and understand what they were saying. So, you know, being that he's a doctor, he can talk to our other doctors and he can talk to other experts in different areas and move us forward and try to get us closer to that cutting edge, if you will, in terms of how we look at rest, recovery, and performance, and really comfortable with it. I've been fortunate in the past to have some pretty good people in that department. The less I have to walk down to that end of the building, the happier I am. I don't like being in the training room. Try to stay out of the gym, hire people who know what they're doing, and let them do their job.